Unfortunately, there's no black and white answer because each individual is completely different. And not too long ago, I went to a wedding and was a very difficult situation there because there was a lot of internal family issues there. But one of the boys, it was a very religious family, and one of the boys went like off the derech and he married a non-Jewish girl. And their family completely outcast him. The family completely said, "We don't want you to come here. We don't want to come to you." So the groom invited his brother to the wedding. He said, "It's my wedding. I'm going to invite whoever I want." So he invited his brother, and his brother came with his not Jewish wife and her baby. And there was such a issue there. Everybody. And then the father of the groom approached me, and he told me, "Should we invite my son and his wife to the picture?" And I said, "Of course, of course. What kind of a question?" I told him, "But she's not Jewish, and we don't want the other kids and the grandkids to see that she's not Jewish. They'll think we're proving it." And I told him, "I don't know why, but there's a very good chance that your son married a non-Jewish girl because you were pushing him away all the time. Now you have an opportunity to make some type of peace by inviting him back, by telling him, 'You have room in my family. I'm not happy with your wife. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not happy that you married a non-Jewish girl. But I still love you. You're still my son. And I still want you to know that you have a place in my heart.'" And I told the father, "You better invite your son and his non-Jewish wife. You have the opportunity to make peace here." Anyways, there was a lot of family arguing and they didn't invite. And the son, of course, got very hurt, because a lot of family members says, "If she's coming into the picture, we don't want to be in the picture." And the son got hurt and he left. And I told the father, look what you blew up an opportunity. Yes, he did go far away. And I know you're not happy. I wouldn't be happy also. But you have to have the sensitivity to know how to pull him back. Now, if you completely shut him down, he's not going to come back. He's going to be constantly in his mind, "My family can't tolerate me. They don't like my wife. They don't like my way of life." Now, I told the father, "I'm not agreeing with it. I'm not telling you it's okay. I'm telling you it's more important to bring your son back. Why? Because if he's going to feel a place, A, if it's not the real marriage, then maybe he will divorce her. Maybe he will let her go. And if it's maybe it's the real marriage, maybe she needs to convert. I don't know. Each case is completely, completely different. The point is that it's the most easiest way to shut things down because of anger, but it's the hardest and most important is to do whatever you need to do to bridge to the other individual, to bring back the individual. So in one case, the individual will marry a non-Jewish girl or man. Another case, a person will just go and desecrate Shabbat. Another person will do many other things. I see it in a way that it's the worst thing to totally outcast the person from the family. And yes, it's not the easiest thing. The person needs to know that you're not happy with the situation. I'm saying you because you asked it, not you in particular. But the point is that we have the obligation to do whatever we can to bring back that individual and to still accept that person. And to do whatever we can. I mean, again, I don't agree with it. I do whatever I can to stop it. And you have to educate people. That's why when I used to live in America, I was very strong with people. Take your kids out of public school. Don't let your kids, you know, get even to that situation. It's a very bad epidemic. I always say that Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was able to kill 6 million Jews, their bodies. But America killed 60 million souls because of all the assimilation. 60, 70, 80%, I don't know how much the percentage of assimilation. Millions of souls were killed because of that. So, needless to say, it's a very bad thing. But if it's before the act, then you have to do whatever you can to try to prevent it. But if it's already after the act, you said the answer, complicated. And each case is completely different and needs to be dealt different. And in many, I always say peace is always the best. The Torah is all about peace. It says, "Darkei adarkei noam v'kol netivotei shalom." That the ways of the Torah is peace. If you're looking at all the blessings, all the praise that we say, it has one word in it, Shalom. All our praise, the most famous prayer in the world, ask any Jew in the world, what's the most famous prayer? Oseh Shalom Imromav. We finished 18, Shalom. Everything is Shalom. Birkat Kohanim, Yasem Lecha Shalom. Everything is Shalom. The entire Torah was created to bring peace to the world. So, in any situation a person finds himself, is to bring peace. Is to somehow do peace. Hashem puts you in a situation that you will do whatever you can to bring peace between two people. So any situation, the two people are in a fight, it's not good. It's not a healthy thing. Your job, since you are observant, and you have the wisdom of the Torah, and you have Hashem by your side, you should do whatever you can to bridge that there shouldn't be any anger between two brothers. Doesn't matter if you're observant, he's not observant. The point is that the Torah incorporates and it says, only do peace, concentrate on peace. It's all about peace. Lower yourself. Sometimes you have to swallow your pride. Sometimes you have to get cursed and yelled at. Now again, this is a very general answer, because in some situations, the decree is you can't do anything, take a step back.
So.
It's not the way of the Torah. The Torah says very clearly, it doesn't say in the Torah, fight with other people. It says the Torah, about the Torah, Darkei Adakei, No Mekol Netivotei Shalom. You do everything with peace. You do it with anger, you do it with arguing, you're not going to get anything. So now what's the result? Again, and I don't know the story, but it seems like now the result is two brothers are not talking to each other. That's not what the Torah promotes. The Torah promotes... That's not good. That's exactly what I said before with the Sinat Chinam, and why hate another Jew? Okay, so he made the wrong decision. That's his decision. I'm obligated to love him. He's still my brother. So that's where you have the obligation to try to change that. Slowly, slowly try to bridge back to him. Try to make peace. Sit down and say, listen, we're both adults. I mean, we're not animals. So what if I wear a yarmulke? You're still my brother. You're my blood. The point is, again, it's very hard to give a good answer because it's a, I don't know the entire situation. My aim is always to make peace. Not good to have between Jews arguments and hate. That's what the Torah teaches. Now, if I learn Torah all day long and I don't incorporate it into my life, then I'm kind of missing the point. Because the Torah teaches me, it's three times a day, when I pray, I say in the Tefillat Shemona Esrei, Sim Shalom. Tova or bracha, put first peace. All the Torah constantly tells me, do peace. Now, if I'm a person, if I'm a man that represents the Torah, and I learn Torah, and my Torah is my life, then I have to bring it out to the world. So it's in your hands to come and say, you are Jew, you are my brother. I'm not happy that your wife is not Jewish, but I'm not going to hate you, and I'm not going to let that separate me between me and you. Because your parents are looking from Shamayim, and it's making them sad that you're fighting. So again, I this is not a black and white answer because I don't know the situation. And both sides, in every argument, there's two sides. You have to hear both sides, you have to analyze everything. But from not knowing anything, your mind should be of how am I making peace here. My nisayon right now is this is what I have to deal with, how am I making peace here. Mezrat Hashem, I mean, it's not good when two, especially brothers, I mean, there's no greater nachat that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gets that people, you know, they go beyond their own self and they make peace between another person. And it's never too late. I'll tell you another thing, by the way, and again, I don't know if it's in your situation. I see in a lot of places, especially with families, that the child goes off the derech or marries a non-Jewish person, that if they would be able to keep the child close, that's when they would be able to affect him. Now, when there's an argument, you can't affect or help that person because now he's taking him and his wife's side. The way to actually affect him, David HaMelech says, "Im gvar tamim titamam, v'im ikesh titpatal." With a person who's tamim, who will listen to you, then you'll be tamim too, you'll be innocent. But im ikesh, somebody's stubborn, titpatal, come with all sorts of tricky ways. So you know, the way for me now, when I guide parents that their child is going completely off the derech, and I always meet these parents, he's not coming into my house, he's this. I tell them, you're not going to do anything. If you're going to be angry with that individual, you're not going to be able to bridge and to be able to talk sense into him. Invite him back into your life, that once he's in your life and there's a way of communicating, then when he gains back your trust and your love, then you can start telling him about the Torah. You have the opportunity maybe to lekarev him.
I have a known.
Yeah? You know, and exactly what you're saying, I met not too long ago a family that the son went and he had, you know, he had something went on in his childhood that really affected him. He was very anti-religion because he got very hurt from that. And he went and he married a non-Jewish girl. And the family completely shut down, out, we don't want to talk to you. And of course, you know, you shut him down, then he was, you know, no communication. And then at some point, one in the family individual was like, I'm not going to do that. I still love my brother. And he started going, you know, making a connection again. And with the years, the non-Jewish wife started seeing, you know, the sibling, how is him and his wife are living their life. And she started slowly, slowly really liking Judaism. And she's like, hey, I want to do this. This looks amazing. I like this. A Friday night meal that all the families together. Oh, I like being dressed modest. I don't like this, how people dress. She started seeing all these points in Judaism. She started liking it. And then she started telling her husband, you're Jewish, why aren't you doing that? And at some point, she got so into it that she wanted to convert. Now then she had a problem because when she went to the Beit Din, they told her, you live with a Jew. We're not going to convert you. And she went to such an extreme that she left him because she wanted to convert. And just because that family member accepted her and showed her how beautiful Judaism is, she converted. So in a very indirect way, she later, now they're together, she's 10 times more religious than her than the boy. So sometimes you go the extra mile, you don't even know how it affects and what it can do. Now it does, again, it's not black and white, it doesn't always work like that. The story doesn't always have a happy ending. But the point is that the Torah instructs us is to always make peace between people. Now, if I have a child, or a loved one, a brother, that is doing something that is totally against the Torah, how am I going to affect him? With love or with hate? If I hate him, and I scream at him, and I argue with him, all I'm going to get is a shoulder. Thank you. I'll see you later. But how am I going to be able to penetrate his heart? Come. You can come with your wife. It's fine. I love you. You're my brother. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. The Torah prohibits you to marry a non-Jewish girl. But you're my brother. I love you. Now, only when he's in my domain, then I can affect him. How can I affect somebody positively if he's far away, if I'm pushing him away? So I understand that many rabbis say, no, cut it, no connection, don't agree with it. Not too long ago, one of my wife's best friends, she got married. And she invited us to the wedding. And then she asked my wife to be to say one of the Sheva Brachot. I told my wife, what? She wants you to say one of the Sheva Brachot? What kind of a wedding is that? So my wife called and she was like, well, they're getting married a very reformed wedding. That a woman is officiating the wedding and the women are saying the Sheva Brachot. I told my wife, like, with all due respect, I mean, you can't say, I mean, this is kind of a joke. So we had a very big debate if to go to the wedding or not to go to the wedding. And yeah, according to the halakha, we're not allowed to be present in such a wedding. We're not allowed to. But I told my wife, listen, we could go beyond the letter of the law. We can go to the wedding and respect them. So at the time of the chuppah, we step out. But we can still be maybe in the party. We don't have to eat the food because if this is a reformed ceremony, I wouldn't even trust the food there. But I can still come and respect them and give them a card and explain to them, listen, you know, in the dancing, there's no michitza, we're going to be out, but we wanted to come and give you a present and wish you a mazel tov. And the decision was that we still went there. At the chuppah we went out, in the reception we were there, in the dancing we went out, we didn't eat anything, but we were still there. And the presence that we were there, and not in the chuppah, because the chuppah is the problem, and not in the dancing, because it was mixed dancing, but we still gave some respect. So the effect was that later down the line, we were able to invite them to a Shabbat, and then invite them to a Pesach Seder, and have some type of a connection with them. Can I affect them as Jews if they hate me because they didn't show up to the wedding? Or because I'm telling them you can't come to my Shabbat table because you drove here? What am I going to do? Am I going to affect them? No, I maybe won the battle, but I lost the war. So I was like, no, I'll be smarter. I'll get them into my domain, you know, like teasing a child with a lollipop. When once they're close to me, that's when I can affect them. That's when I can stab their heart with some good poison. Now again, this is a very general answer. It's not necessarily an answer that's good for you because I don't know all the situation. But the foundation is try to go with what I just told you. That what should be the theme, that in any situation you want to constantly promote peace. You want to bring peace between two Jews. You know, Aaron HaKohen was he gained to be the priest, the first Kohen Gadol, because his entire nature was to bring Shalom ben Adam lechavero. And there's nothing greater that a person is able to overcome his ego, his pride, his opinions, to humble himself and says more important to have peace between two Jews. You know the whole story in the Torah about the woman, the sota, that she wrote Hashem's name. And Hashem says, I'm willing my name to be erased for Shalom Bayit to happen. So Shalom Bayit is, yes, between husband and wife, but Shalom Bayit is also between two brothers. And any two Jews, Hashem doesn't like it. It hurts Hashem when two Jews fight with each other for no reason. Nachon, trust me, Hashem is not happy with the fact that he's married to a non-Jew. But you can actually save him only if you go to him. If somebody's now drowning in the ocean, and I'm standing on the beach and saying, I'm very sorry, it's Shabbat, I don't want to get my clothes wet because it's going to be schita on Shabbat. Very sorry, I'm very frum. The person's drowning. You jump into the water and you save him. Don't be pitom, you know, so religious. So, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not referring to you. I'm just saying that the Torah tells you sometimes you have to go beyond the letter of the law. One time there was also a situation similar to that. And I went to my rabbi and he told me, don't pretend you're so religious, you go and help that person. Okay? Saving another Jew is more important. Bringing peace between two Jews, it's more important than you being now very, very religious. So that's my attitude, that bringing peace between Jews is way more important than anything else. And you can only affect him in a positive way when he's close to you. I mean, now if you're going to tell him, come to a Shabbat meal, he's not going to want to come. Because he's going to tell you, don't accept my wife. I don't want to come and sit with you. But if you somehow bridge with him, and you tell him, I want you to come for Shabbat, you know what's going to come out of it? He'll hear Kiddush. He'll drink kosher wine. He'll eat kosher food. He'll be in the atmosphere of Shabbat. You know how that might affect him? You don't know how it's going to affect him. It might affect him in such a pnimiut, in such a internal way, pitom he's going to have this hiruei tshuva. And he'll wake up, why? What am I doing with this non-Jewish woman? What did I do now for 30 years? I hate her. You don't know what's going on. Maybe he has the worst marriage ever. And you know, just to prove the point, he's not getting divorced because he doesn't want people to say, I told you. So you never know what's going on in a person's mind. My opinion is always to, you know, there's a halakha that you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew to a Pesach Seder. Because the miracle was for the Jews, you know, not to invite non-Jews. But I had once a situation that there was a certain Jew that I knew that all he needed is a little bit to a push and he will come closer to Yiddishkeit. But, and I invited him to Silas Seder. And he told me, I want to come with my girlfriend. She's not Jewish. And my first answer was, she can't come. And then I made a quick calculation. What am I gaining? If I bring her, then he comes with her. He will eat matzah. He will see seder. He will drink wine. Maybe he will say Birkat Hamazon. Maybe he will get it all excited. And I called the rabbi. I mean, you have to have a big decision. And I called a very big rabbi and I told him, this is the situation. And he answered me, invite her. Invite her. It's better saving a Jew than to be so strict that the non-Jew cannot come to the Lel Seder. Just make sure your wine is mevushal, make sure this, make sure that. But more important that this Jew will sit in the Lel Seder, eat matzah, say birkat hamazon, do kiddush, see what's going on. And you know what? If there's 0.00001% that it will wake him up, it's worth it. And I'll tell you one story and then we're going to end. But it's on the same level. That there was once a story that the son of the king was very, very sick. He was about to die. All the doctors, nobody was able to find the remedy. And the king said, I will give my entire fortune, just save my son. Any doctor that came failed. After years and years, the son was already almost about to die. One person came and says, listen, I'm not a doctor. I have something that I think there's a small, slight chance that maybe it will save your son. The king says, I will do anything, even if it's the smallest chance. The person told him, take the biggest jewel, the biggest diamond in your crown, take it out of your crown, smash it into pieces, crush it to ashes and dust, take that dust, put it in water and let the son drink. The king says, this is going to save my son's life? He says, there's a 0.0000% that it will. So the king says, if there's one little chance that it will, I'll do that. He took the jewel out of his son's... He took the jewel out of his crown, crashed it, gave it to the son, and it was an American story, so there was a happy ending, and the son was cured. But the point from that is that in the eyes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a child, any Jew, is his child. And he can be the furthest away in a land of non-Jews, married a non-Jew, eating everything not kosher, desecrating Shabbat and all the holidays. But there's one little chance that this son might be saved. You put in stake everything. Just that there's maybe a chance to save him. And I see, in my experience, I see that when you do that, not always it works, but a lot it saves them. So I always come and say, you go beyond the letter of the law if there's a chance to save another Jew. And you don't know what your actions will change in his mind. I mean, if it would be my recommendation, and again, it's not 100% because I don't know the entire story, but I would do anything I can to bring him closer to me. Because only when he's closer to me, I have a chance of affecting him. And you never know. You never know how the story would end. Could be, I've seen it, that the person who's married to the non-Jew has the worst marriage ever, and just because of his pride, that nobody will tell him, I told you, he's staying. And his pride is so strong, he's not going to leave the marriage. I saw it with some individual. He would not leave the marriage. He had the worst marriage ever. He just didn't want people to tell him, I told you. So you don't know what's going on there. And you should definitely do whatever you can to communicate and try to bridge and bring him back. Never know. That's could be why you became observant, to save him. Just follow the Torah. Darkei Darkei Noam et kol nitivotei shalom. Should do everything with love and peace and respect. At the end of the day, he is a human being. Even though the Torah prohibits us to marrying non-Jews, the non-Jews are also children of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be done in a very nice and very diplomatic and smart way. You never know.